Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the hump day version of the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
At 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock. Good evening, Captain Leon Dana.
What's shaking, bacon?
How are you? Kevin's gone for the week. It is the last week of hunting season, so I got to let him have his time because this is
it. And Chip.
Yeah, and Chip. Chip's gone too, so you guys are just stuck with us for the evening. But
Dumb and dumber.
Yeah, we're going to get through this, but we'll be fine. But folks, yes, we're going to be, unfortunately, changing back again. I know it's a pain. We're going to be on here till like February the 8th on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. JU basketball now takes over our slot on Thursday nights from 8 to 9. So sorry for any inconvenience that might cause you. But if you can't listen to us on Wednesday night, you know you can still listen to the podcast. And honestly, truthfully, I'd rather listen to the podcast because I could speed ahead of not
me?
Listening to my – yeah, me. You know, listen only what just, you got to say.
Skip past
Leon.
Yeah. We're good.
But, yeah, so you get the chance to just tune us in on podcast. I know it's tough trying to keep up with our schedule, and I apologize for that, but that's how we're set up. So the way it goes.
That's how we roll.
Hey, real quick, I'm just going to – just because I got it up and I got my glasses on so I could see.
Yeah.
Weather's going to be skunky for the next few days, Leon. Tomorrow, east winds 15 to 20 knots, seas 4 to 6, occasional 8s. Friday, southeast winds 15 to 20, 5 to 7, occasional 9s. Saturday, southeast winds 15 to 20, seas 6 to 8, occasional 10s. Sunday, southeast 4 to 6, occasional 8. So, weekend shot. I mean, if you want to river fish, you river fish, but for all you Wahoo whackers and all that kind of stuff, that's out.
That ain't going to happen.
Unless you got one heck of a boat or one heck of a crew that's going to put up with that, because I surely don't want to. We are going to see some rain kind of moving in Sunday. Saturday evening into early Sunday morning. There is a pretty good chance of rain during the middle of the night with another front coming through, which, as you could tell, then you could see where – then Monday, the wind's going to clock all the way back around again and blah, 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 blah. So, anyhow, we know we got a front coming through. And your tides coming out of St. Augustine. Sorry, just give me one second. I'm going to give you tides coming out of St. Augustine for the weekend. And by the way, speak of that, I did not fish today, but even though we got a full moon coming up on Friday,
right?
They said this tide has been like blowing out. You know, where we were all kind of complaining maybe 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. I know it all has to do with moon phase, but even with the north wind, you figured it would have held in a little bit more today.
Right.
And the reports I got was you better not go somewhere that you thought before you could get out because you ain't going to get out.
Yeah.
You're going to be stuck. But anyhow, tides tomorrow is low at 1:50 in the afternoon, and it's a 0.2. High tides in the morning at 7:30 is a 5.2.
Yep.
And then on Friday, we're going to have a high tide at 8:18 in the morning, 5.3. You're going to have a low in the afternoon at basically 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
0.1. And on Saturday, High tide is going to be at 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:10 a.m., 5.4. And, wow, then you're going to have a low tide in the afternoon at 3:30, which is a 0.0. And that's a day after the full moon.
Point zero. No change?
Like no change.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
A 5.4 to a 0. I don't know. I'm just telling you what.
Yeah, it doesn't make
sense. Just telling you what the reports are telling me. But then on – and then Sunday, folks, basically 10 o'clock in the morning, 9:58 is a high at 5, which is a 5.4. And then the low in the afternoon is at 4:12, which is a negative 0.1. Mm. So, anyhow, that's your tides and weather.
My head just hurts.
Leon, we kind of get the – this time of year, at least for myself, I don't have usually January and February, I don't have the huge winter clientele that want to go.
Right.
I mean, I still fish. But with that being said, it gives me time for either tackle repairs or getting ready for the upcoming season. Because when you think about it, you know, March is right around the corner. And by the time we get mid, you know, and towards the end of February, from then on, we're pretty much rocking.
There's going to be no rest for the weary once March kicks around.
When March gets here in kingfish season, and which brings up a great point. I mean, I know it sounds pretty stupid. I mean, May is a few months away, but I just catch myself on these days that is really cold, like this morning.
Yeah.
You know, no set. I got nothing to do, so I'm tying kingfish rigs.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I usually tie 500 to 600 of them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to take. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of the hooks I get out of the fish while I'm fishing, you know, when I catch them, you know, of course, you don't ever want to return one. If you can get the hooks out, you get the hooks out. I mostly tail grab my fish, the ones, of course, that are going. But if the event that they are hooks are in them or whatever, you know, where I can't get them out in their mouth or whatever, I don't get close to those teeth because it's not worth the surgery. The hooks I buy are bronze. They're going to rust out 3 or 4 days or whatever. They're going to be done. But
isn't it amazing just
how fast
rust?
That goes?
It's unbelievable.
I've done tests around the house. Pretty fun.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Fun. If you bring home a bucket of seawater and throw a hook, you know, throw a set of hooks or whatever in there.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you get up the next morning, it's already got a rust stain on the bottom.
Yeah,
of the bucket.
Yeah, it's got a big round spot on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. On the bottom. And then if you leave it in there, it's amazing that, you know, you hurt the fish more by trying to dig it out than let it go. I mean, and with that being said, I'm not going to say I've caught a bunch of them, but I've caught enough of them, redfish in particular, that I have pulled out plenty of jig heads out of their anal, or monofilament that if you pulled on a little bit harder you end up breaking the hook off in them or whatever.
I've done it.
But it's amazing that you think, oh, my gosh, that fish has got all down the crushers. He's bleeding. That's wrong. Just let him go. He's going to be fine. That hook is going to rust out.
Oh.
And that's the nice thing about kind of what we do and all that. That's why they quit using stainless steel hooks. The only hooks you can use stainless steel in is when you're pulling those marlin lures, wahoo lures, and all that.
Right.
You pull stainless steel hooks. But for any bottom fishing, you can't. You have to use hooks that are
bronzy,
kind of bronzy, or just regular nickel plated, but that within the course of 4 or 5 or 6 days,
it's
going to rust out of his mouth.
Right. Exactly.
And speaking of bottom fishing, the boats that did make it out last week, the cobias are around. Okay, the water got colder. I tried to make a run out there on Tuesday.
Right.
Yesterday. I actually had a decent cold here. I've been fighting the last couple of days, but anyhow, the weather just. I kept watching, and I pulled the plug. Thank goodness I did. Heard it was rough as all get out there yesterday. But for about that 110 foot kind of area, the cobia bites really, really good right now.
Remember that time you, me, and Zach went out?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'd love to do that again.
Zach went. When was the last nice day? Thursday of last week, maybe?
Right.
Friday? And he went. I had a charter inshore. He went offshore. And it was so funny. We both left the dock at about 8 o'clock. And damned if he didn't beat me back to the dock. He was cleaning fish when I was just getting in from my charter.
You look
so in 3 hours,
like,
he went dirty, and then he went 4 for 6.
I know what he did.
You know,
was he doing that drop with the jig again?
Yeah, he's jig fishing. Oh, man. That's all he does. No baits at all. Just all jigs.
Jig lift. You remember?
Lift, fall.
What were you doing? A lift with an 8-ouncer like last year? Threw your shoulder out.
Oh, I don't. I've learned to. And folks, if there's nothing wrong with that, but I have stepped it up, and it does cost money. It costs money to play this game. Okay.
Oh yeah.
They have jigging rods out there. I know there's a lot of people that's getting into that, and you know it's really, really stinking cool. Okay.
High speed. You know.
There's slow pitch jigs are called. There's more high speed jigging where you race it through the water column, and that's usually the tunas and the kingfishes and the bonitas and stuff like that. Jacks. Where then you get these slow pitch jigs, which the art of doing it is not ever really coming more than about 20 or 30 feet off the bottom and catch your groupers, your snappers, still your jacks, your cobias, all that. But anyhow, where I'm getting to this is the rods that these slow pitch guys are using and all that now are carbon fiber rods. They are expensive as all get out. I did order one, and I have gotten one. The rod itself was $350.
Your cost.
My cost.
Good gracious.
Okay. And then the reel is another $500 on that because they're all almost – they're just a souped-up two-speed bass reel. They hold –
high-speed reel.
You're only putting like 30 to 40-pound braid on them. Okay.
Oh.
But the rod is rated to 300 pounds. I mean, when you hook a fish on these rods, it's the greatest thing. I mean – it's just you don't understand. Okay, you don't understand how this rod is not breaking.
Right.
How you do it, and I learned this through a friend of mine how to do it, and him and I are, he's building a lot of my jigs for me now and stuff like that, doing it, and it's really cool. Anyhow,
it's a hoot.
Let we're gonna come back to that. We got to take a break real quick, folks. You're listening to Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Leon Dana, Captain Scott Shank. Be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL.
What I've been seeing?
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana is joining me tonight. And real quick, we're going to touch a little bit more because it's this time of year, and honestly, all through the year, Leon, that jigging and stuff like that, and that slow pitch jigging, it's just really cool. Most of the time, you know, the old school was, you know, stuck under your arm with a 6-aught or, you know, no less, of course, than a 4-aught. Well, here you're fishing these Alutechnos, these Saltese that's made by Daiwa. They got, like, a big power handle on them. They're not that wide, but hold a ton of line.
Talica's probably, too. You can do it with your Talica 2-speeds.
Right. And it's the rods are crazy because we're so used to the guides lining all the way down the rod.
Oh, yeah.
Well, these are called acid wrap rods. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
They spiral around the rod.
So as that rod torques and the pressure's received, no point in time is the line ever going to touch the blank of the rod.
Which is good.
Which is a great thing, okay? Because literally, these rods are the split grip kind of style rods. They have usually a longer butt section because it's got to be comfortable so you don't rash yourself underneath the arm because you're slowly jigging it all day. So you don't want that. Basically, the rod is thin enough. It's almost like an inshore rod that we fish with, but 10 times the power. And it fits perfectly up underneath your arm, and you just slow pitch. And the craziest thing is, yes, alien jigs and all that is basically where the cobies are still coming off of. I mean, by far, those are the easiest ones. But what happens with these rods, because of able to have the power in the rod to pull the fish, and you know, you could play around with the braid anywhere, you know, whatever, 30 to 60 pound or whatever you want to play. But my rod, I believe, has got 40 on it.
Yeah.
And,
boy, you can put a ton of heat with 40
pounds. You don't
pound.
Realize it because the drag systems on these reels that you're, I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's literally like an 80 watt international in a reel that's no bigger than
in the palm of your
hand.
And you're using 40 pound braid. It don't break at 40 pound, folks.
No, it doesn't.
It's way over 60.
No, it. And I mean, in you know, gosh forbid you ever caught one, you know, that big. I mean, the drag's still going to come off the reel. It's not a lockdown situation, but it's amazing. But really, fighting those fish on these rods, it's all about technique. It's not
brute strength.
It's not. It has nothing to do with strength. It's just keeping that rod always loaded and using that rod. And it's not, you know, you're so, you know, the old, you know, way high sticking and coming reeling down with the 6-0s or the 4-0s. It's a touch. It's right there at you. It's like 9:30 to 11, no higher than that.
You're gaining a little bit of time.
You will break these rods if you go high.
Right.
It's meant to stay at water's edge and, you know, kind of at 9 o'clock and come to like 10:30, quarter 11 with them.
I got you.
But it is the funny thing is though, and then we're so into 1/8 ounce, 1/4 ounce, 3/8
sure.
ounce. We work in ounces. Well, when you work with these jigs, it's all in grams.
Yeah.
So
right.
it gets kind of sort of confusing. But anyhow, to kind of end this kind of little topic, it's really cool, but they're expensive. It's an expensive hobby, but it's nice because even after a day of trolling or you left too early and the bait shops weren't open or your best buddy said, I'll get the bait, and he forgets, these things will catch everything. I mean, the smaller jigs you use, of course, you can catch your beeliners, your pink porgies. You can still catch all the whole array of bottom fish and never have a problem.
Never swap out.
Nope.
Right, got it.
And never have to cut bait.
Yep.
So, what do we got, Chip, on the line, Mike?
Is Lug Nuts here?
I don't know. I thought that's what he said. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's bring up Captain Chip Wingo.
I guess he's out of the woods.
It has to be. It's 7:30. Yeah, Lug Nuts.
Lug Nuts.
Hey, Captain Chip, did you see any deers tonight?
Yeah, I did. I saw a small 6-point.
Okay.
Saw doe early running across. That was it. So it was a beautiful day up here, though.
Leon says, appreciate no meat.
I didn't say a word, but I sure as hell thought it. I don't care about the 6-point, Chip, but you better smoke that doe.
I haven't seen him bringing any fish home himself. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Fish yesterday. So.
Yeah, okay, all right, you got a point there. I could have brought some fish home yesterday.
How about that T-Rex head? He's got a new animal in his arsenal now, huh?
Yeah, I saw that.
A little lost my mind as usual.
I could tell that was an interesting picture of T-Rex.
I heard you talking, Scotty, about things you do when you're, you know, when it's slow. Well, my boy Matt over at Trollometer Services Plus is hooking me up right now.
He sure is, buddy.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, son, is he
my
ever.
My new trolling motor got delivered this evening.
Oh, did it?
Nice.
Heading over to put it on the boat in the morning. Well, I'll be putting it on the boat in the morning. I got to bring it over to Whalen Bay real quick. Got to switch out some plugs. And
Chip,
I will have me a new trolling motor.
Chip, tell Scotty what you're doing.
Oh,
tell him what
great.
Matt's doing.
Matt's doing it. Are you kidding me? The man's doing it. Upgrading to a 36-volt trolling motor.
Thank gosh.
Well, I mean, in my little boat, it should do quite a bit. Power pole.
And he's got a new fish finder.
Replaced.
Really?
Yeah. And put one of the hummingbird side scans on.
Yeah, Celex. Yep. Is that what it's called? Celex?
It's nice.
Helix.
It's nice. Helix, that's it.
Helix.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just a
Helix.
Smaller unit. I'm going to keep the other unit on there, too. I want one that I can turn around and look at. So I put it on a
ram.
On one of the gifts.
That's a good idea.
It's a great
idea.
When Chip told me what he was going to do, man, I was like, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, no,
son,
that's
at all.
Not. No. Because, I mean, how many times are you got the boat staked out and, you know, say whatever, you
I
know,
can't
however
tell you.
You're doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And I yell, hey, look back there. What's my depth?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, because most of the time, especially with you two, you guys do a lot of bull red fishing and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would imagine 90% of your time your clients are kind of in the back and you're in the way for right that total second. So both of you, I would imagine, are up on the polling platform sitting, still watching the rods,
yep.
but not in the way of the clients. So to know yeah. when fish are passing and all that kind of stuff, you know, it would be a good thing to have. Working ledges, whatever you're trying to do, you know. Because that's my biggest thing, too, is I get up there or whatever, and I have to stay by underneath my center console because, like you, I'm working ledges down yes. it or whatever, and I'm, you know, making sure I'm doing the right thing, or even in a creek
sure.
where I'm trying to stay in that 9 feet of water and let them throw up the three or whatever.
That's
you
right.
know?
You're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it helps. It helps a lot when you can see it, you know, when you're – I mean, the nice thing about the spot lock trolling motors now is the fact that we can sit back
True.
There and watch. But if I'm up forward, I want to be able to look around and, you know, move it here, move it there, just to find that little. Sometimes all it takes is a foot drop,
yeah,
and you'll find
yeah.
them. You know,
you're right.
So,
well, I'll tell you too, and you know, it took the young guys to teach the old dog, but with the way that, and it doesn't matter what company you buy them from, they all have it. You have a directional now, you know, where you can actually pre-program your spots from start to finish, and it will take you back there every time, you know, and you could just, you know, drum up that number and hit start, and it'll take you right down that bank, you know, as the same is if you're working a straight piece of bank, where you could point the trolling motor and hit due north on the trolling motor, and it'll constantly just keep working right down the jetty, let's just say.
Right.
You can fish the whole length. You don't have to sit there and do in and out. It automatically does it for you as soon as you set the compass bearing.
Nice. Yeah, I do that sometimes when we're throwing artificials going down the bank. You know, especially if you're going into the current, you want to do a slow, you know, up current. You just put
yep.
it on, lock it in, and it'll slowly work you up in that current, which works out really nice. So I tell you what, right. Scotty, those fish bites have been on fire, bro.
I know. I've been using them too, buddy. God dang, I got on a bite of yellowmouth trout the other day, and those things are crazy good. I went down there and talked to Sauteri and said hello, and I said, man, can I steal a couple bags of dirty boxer from you? He says, yeah. What do you want? I said, I want the paddles. He said, no problem. I said, so anyhow, I gave you, I think, two paddles and a curly tail. So
yeah, I like
anyhow.
The curly tail. A lot.
I like the curly tails, too.
The curly tail, the yellowmouth trout just could not resist those
What
things.
A fantastic, dumb
you
fish.
Know, well, it makes a day. I mean, real quick, the other day, I had three people from overseas. Very limited language.
The Ruskies. Yeah.
And the daughter, she was so sweet, took her dad and her grandfather fishing, Chip. Well, anyhow, she was probably 60% English. She went to Flagler and a little broken, but I mean, I could still talk to her. But the dad and the granddad was just, there was no way, you know, I mean, it was that speech.
Did they bring a bottle of vodka on the boat?
No. But it's hard on those kind of days, Chip, and I know both of you guys have had them, to where you go from spot to spot. There's an explanation of why we're here.
Yeah.
And if I can't give you the rundown, you know, it's kind of fruitless and why. So I kind of made that decision that we fished a jetty first, caught a couple really nice sheephead. I think caught one black drum there, and I said, man, what can I do that when I show them? Because the showing was fine. It was just, it was going to take too much time out of the day to teach them instead of fish.
Right.
So I said, hey, I'm going to go to a deep shell bar, and I know that they should be there. Let's go there. And they were. They were there, and, man, they were just eating pieces of shrimp.
Just little chunks.
So anyhow, I was messing with them. I was fishing a little bit too, real quick. Had a rod and rod holder. I was getting a couple fish off the hook, and I heard my rod literally
dunk.
I mean, like,
yeah.
hit the side of the boat, and I went, what the heck was that? So, Chip, anyhow, in a place that I've caught legal reds there, but never bull reds. Anyhow, we caught five bull reds on light tackle, 33 to 40 inches, maybe 39 inches, 38 inches. But they had a blast taking pictures.
Sure, they did.
Caught a couple of sharks, you know. And of course, they wanted to hold them. I said, "There's no holding," and you know, no.
No. How did you explain to those Russians that couldn't understand English? You have to release these redfish.
It was very hard. Take home. No.
I can imagine.
No. We want to take shark back. No, we're not taking no shark back. No, God. I don't know what I'm catching right now. They were like 3 foot long. They're not the Atlantic sharp nose. They didn't have no dots or nothing on them. They were basically almost full gray. Could they be baby bulls?
Nah, they're
in 64 degrees.
They're chunky little monkeys.
They were just a gray looking shark. They weren't like I said, Atlantic sharp nose. No white spots like Atlantic sharp nose.
Huh.
They were fully gray. And then other people, I've been catching black tips. I have caught plenty of little baby black tips, like a foot and a half long.
Right.
They're still black tip. They don't grow color as they grow. They grow it, they have it at the day they're born.
Okay.
So I don't know what these were. But they're about 3 feet long. And, man, I mean.
They're fun.
Dude, they will roll on you and turn on you in a heartbeat, and that's what he wanted to hold it. I said,
"Nee." No, you don't. That thing spins around and gets your wrist.
No, that's what I told him. I said, no trip to hospital. I'm out.
In Mother Russia, we bite shark.
Yeah. But, I mean, anyhow. But that was kind of one, you know, it stunk because I really wanted to, you know, do some more stuff that I did, but I was kind of forced to fish deep water, which was great. It produced the heck out of it. It was great.
Happy with what you did.
Oh, yeah. It was a great day.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. They had a blast, and that's all I care about. I care about people having
to pass over.
It is. And she did the best that, you know, the daughter was doing the best that they could, too, but it was a great day. We caught a bunch of fish. But, yeah, so what's been going on with you? You been fishing at all, or are you doing what I'm doing?
Oh, yeah.
Working around the house?
Well, I was on a run there for a while.
You were?
Five doubles, and I was burning it hard. And then I forget what day my last charter was. I think it was Friday. I think the weather turned Saturday and Sunday up.
And
then I'm going to stay up here through Sunday. Finish the season out.
Skeeter's doing fine. I just saw pictures. He's doing fine.
I fed him the chicken and rice mix. He loved it.
Chicken, rice mix, a little smoked salmon. You know, I see what he feeds him all the time. So.
Yeah, he was fine. Trust me, he's getting fat.
Skeeter, I'm
taking him tomorrow. Hey, Chip, I'm taking him tomorrow over to that pet place.
To get
him a bath.
Gotcha. That'll be fun.
You'll get
to hear Chewbacca.
Yeah, I will.
Hey, that 36 volt trolling motor is gonna that thing's gonna fly.
It's a game changer.
Hey, let me speak of game changers
because
I know both of you had them. We all had the iPilot trolling motors before you guys did. You guys run the hand control still?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, is that not like one kept you from having to go to the doctor to get hooks removed? I mean, isn't it not like just incredible? I know we talk about this all the time, but I'm just telling you.
We don't have to use our power poles as much as we used to.
Right.
Right.
I wish now I didn't have the power pole on my boat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I hate my power pole. I never use it.
I'd like to have another one.
I guess you're right because, of course, our good friend Captain Rob Bennett, he's got two on his 25 Pathfinder.
Does he got dual eights or tens?
Eights.
Okay. I can't imagine a boat with eights.
And
like
I would use it because one power pole on my boat doesn't do it justice at all. Unfortunately, I have a molded in step ladder on the side.
Right.
They could have put it on my engine, but I had them before on a Ranger like that, and I spent every waking moment tightening that thing up because they always rattled and all that kind of stuff from going offshore.
Okay.
But yes, this time of year when you're in the creeks a lot and you got people and I could position a boat where put both of them down.
Right.
The boat doesn't move. I mean, I watch him even a northeast wind at 15 knots. If he lays both of those down, that boat stays right there.
See,
not like I swing. I mean, I literally
then have to
drop my trolling motor
and you spot lock.
Hook my trolling motor spot lock to where I need to be.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You swing around when you use a single.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, Scott, my buddy Kyle, the fish down in Canaveral, as a Pathfinder. I think he has the 25.
Yep.
And he was telling me he trolls with his power poles down.
Yes.
And it slows his boat down because I think he has a 300 on the back of it. And he said it slows it down perfect.
I looked into that because they have the paddles.
Yeah, it's going to add.
I can attach to that.
Chip, does he have the paddles on it?
I guess so. He just said it works really good.
So,
and he also he puts this little daisy chain flash thing on there too.
Yep. Yep. I have the I bought it and I have not used it yet. I have whatever you want to call it. Like the it's almost like a downrigger kind of setup that you hook on the back of the power pole. It's got it's to like keep live baits underneath in your prop wash. And I definitely do have it at the house. I've just never installed it. I bought it with intent and I've never put it on. But yes, with you saying that, Chip, I mean, even having running one sea anchor at some points in time, either current or no wind, forces me to have to even dump out a bucket or something on the other side. You know, I mean, trying to slow myself down even farther, whether I lift the engine up a little bit higher or something like that, but then I lose that clean prop wash, so I lose running a prop wash bait or have to send that bait back farther because I'm putting up too much. I'm putting up too much turbulence.
I'm still wondering why you guys don't use the trolling motors more.
You know, the Mayport, I mean, Captain Kirk Waltz, Captain Jeremy Alvarez, Captain Steve Mullins, whenever they come down, Richard Bloom, whenever they come down to us, that's what they use is a trolling motor.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing in the world.
No, it's
and I'm
not.
Going, no, I'm not. But, I mean, we're all out there wasting fuel on big engines, and I'm going.
And burning hours.
I'm going, huh. Yeah, that's probably the, yeah. I am going to use it more, I believe, this year.
I really think that's a great idea. I mean,
you know, because there's no strain. Again, you could point it, you could set the directional, like we just talked about, to
right.
Lock it into a do pattern as soon as you set up, and let it go.
Yeah.
When you get over the wreck, you turn back around and come back to it again.
Right.
You know,
I think that'd be. I just.
I know. I don't know why we all have it. We
I've
all
never
use
done
a big
it.
Engine.
I just, in theory, it sounds great.
And they do. They catch just as much as we do, but they don't have the fuel bill at the end of the day that we do by idling all day long.
Well, they've already run all the way down to St. Augustine anyway. So.
yeah, that's true.
Good point. Good point, Chip.
But I've just, you know, I've never fished with any. I've just watched them do it, but I have never spent the day, or an hour or two fishing with one of them to just see
how it works.
How it works, you know. I'm just scared of if you know you're going to have to run that thing 8, 9, or 10 the whole entire time.
At least 7, I bet.
You know, even on a calm day. I'm not saying on a rough day. I'm talking a calm day. But I just have so much difficulties with mine where you're burning up the circuit board where it stays on that long for that long period of time.
Right, yeah.
And honestly, truthfully, I got a quick release on mine, and I take mine off in the summertime.
Okay.
I just take it and lay it on the back porch right there. And the day I got it in short order, I put it back on.
Okay. Hunky dory.
All right, I'm gonna go by that day.
Yeah.
It's on the porch square.
Yeah. You know where it's at. But I mean, it does it, and you're a lot quieter. But I don't know if being quiet is better or being louder is better. I don't know. I don't know a big engine runner or a little engine. I'm watching all these young bucks. I'm old school. You know, Kirk and stuff has been around, you know, up here with Jeremy.
Forever.
Well, I'm just saying he fishes with young guns too. But we all down there run our big engines. We don't very seldom ever run our trolling motors.
The only reason why I think it is just fuel and saving the hours on your motor. I mean, those hours, what you rack up in hours compared to what we do is just astronomical.
Well, we're thinking that I'm waiting on my new boat. I got a boat that's gearing 8 months old, 9 months old, and I got 1,600 hours on it.
Wow.
So if I got that on the big engine and I just putting a new trolling motor, take a wild guess that trolling motor I just took off my boat how many hours it's got on it. Because that came with that boat.
Yeah, that's true.
So I got probably 3,000 or 4,000 hours on my trolling motor.
I mean, think about, but how many years is that? You know what I'm saying?
Year and a half.
That's on,
year and
no,
eight
no.
months.
What? Put that in years for your average fisherman.
For your average fisherman.
Oh, my God.
It's probably six, seven, eight, 10 years.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and that's if you got to fish two days a week.
Yeah.
You know?
It's unbelievable the amount of hours that we can rack up.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's funny. I haven't even hit 100 yet.
Really?
On that new motor.
Wow.
Yep. Because I was looking at it the other day to schedule an appointment with Stuart.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, wow, I've still got 100 hours to go.
Wow.
Very nice.
Wow. Well, hey, I got to take a break. I'm getting you.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
we'll
Chip.
See you.
Hey, good to hear from
you. Good luck. Bring me home something to eat.
Hey, kill something.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, brother.
You guys.
All right, brother.
Captain Chip Wingo checking in. You're listening to Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana's helped me out tonight. If you need to give us a call, give us a shout, 904-641-1010. Be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana's sitting in, help me out while Kevin and Chip are still hunting. The last few days left.
They better get something.
They better do something. What you been doing all week? I know you fun fished yesterday with Captain Corey Sparks. I saw that.
Corey Sparks and I, we went out yesterday. Like what you and I like to do, you know, when it's slow and we got some good weather, we go out and we want to locate some fish. And,
boy, it looks gorgeous next week as far as, I don't know about the wind, but the temperatures, at least when I watched the news tonight, it was like, wow. I mean, like 80 degrees all week.
The temperatures are exciting to a point to me, and I'll tell you why it's to a point. Because my water temperature is awesome.
Right.
It's 60 degrees,
yep.
And I love that temperature. Yep. Everything feeds well. Everything's fired up. My trout, my drum.
Yeah, the trout showed back up because we've had two weeks maybe of off fishing for trout. I mean, you find a little group of them, but
sure.
It wasn't nothing like it was before Christmas kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. BC.
You know.
Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, but this 60-degree water temperature is so fantastic, and next week you get these 80 degrees. It's going to fire our water temperature back up. I don't want that.
No,
I mean,
no.
I love the cooler part of the year when I got these trout fired up, along with the redfish side by side. And that's what Corey and I did. We went out. We went and hit about five different spots. One spot held a massive amount of fish. It was one of those places where we pulled up, and I said, they should be right here. Well, they weren't right here. We went another 200 feet, and I went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And we all saw them. We said, okay, let's go. And we just turned around and left. Didn't even throw on them.
A lot of undersized fish?
No, those are big fish that we found. But when we went scouting in the other spots, the fishes were probably about 17, 18. We were throwing some artificials. We were throwing and we were catching 17, 18-inch fish. I did catch one that was 23 inches. The trout that we caught were all 15 to maybe, I'd say, the largest one was 17 inches. And we're fishing back creeks right now.
Yeah.
Water clarity was pretty darn decent. Could have been, I would have expected it to be a little bit clearer, but it was clear enough.
Nothing like that in that canoe picture.
No, it wasn't that canoe picture. I can tell you that much right now.
Is that crazy or what?
That is just sick.
I know. I keep telling Rob to take me, but he hasn't yet.
I know. I mean, it's not like the time when you know, you and I went in that backwaters up in
God, where were we at? Eight?
No. We were at Palencia. You remember we went to Palencia?
Yeah.
And we were looking at that backwater. Yeah.
But that one time when we went, remember, and I caught those two fish off that one oyster bed that was right, and we had the boat.
The Papa Cork?
Yeah.
That was three. That was up at three on
with
the
like
east side.
8 inches a leader?
Yes.
That was so cool.
That was fun, just following back and watching that float go down like a fat boy in dodgeball.
Yep. It was crazy. I mean, that was a fun day. And it gives me the chance to do stuff like that, Leon, that I don't get a chance to do.
You know,
it was only so shallow I could get in a 25-foot bay boat. So
That's true.
You know, that's all I could do. But, you know, no, I agree with you on weather. Not a big fan of 8-plying myself in clothing. I hate that. I don't like going out and, you know, 35 degree weather, and then you got to run a boat in 40, and so, you know, air temperature's 25 degrees, I'm out.
This time of year is when I love running my midday charters.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
And folks, my one little tip I'll give you this time of year, when we got these 60 degree water temperatures, I plan my charters around the midday afternoons. It's because I'm doing that last 2 hours of the outgoing. Sun's beating down on my mud flats, and it's heating up that mud. And those redfish, when that tide turns, they move up on those flats in the schools, and I have a fiesta.
Yeah.
And if you want to start earlier, go right ahead. Throw your artificial soft plastics in the deeper drop downs of the ICW channels, and I'm catching my trout and black drum that way.
You know, So, I mean, you know, mine's a little different. I'm not saying I don't, but, yeah, I mean, I tides don't somewhat matter. I could fish main shorelines and stuff like that, and I could catch my black drum and do all that kind of stuff. So.
Sounds good.
Anyhow, let's take our last break real quick. When we come back, we're going to close out the show, and you're listening to Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And Leon, I gotta just kind of a shout out and kind of look around on Facebook on different fishing pages that I'm part of.
Sure.
And a big shout out to FWC. There is a fish out there called a queen triggerfish.
Yeah.
Well, a queen triggerfish and a regular gray triggerfish, which is the two most common fish caught here. Usually your gray triggerfish can be caught anywhere where your queens are usually out in pretty deep water, 120, 130 feet or deeper. They are classified as an ornamental fish, meaning you have to have a permit to possess them.
Right.
Because they can only come in alive and they have to go in a tank. They cannot, even though their edibility is excellent, just like a gray triggerfish, they cannot be possessed, meaning they cannot be killed or eaten.
Right.
Okay? Even though it says that. Well, unfortunately, a gentleman posted pictures and stuff like that holding a queen triggerfish and had a visit from FWC this week.
Yeah, I saw the posting. Please elaborate.
Okay. So, a lot of people do it because they are. If you have never seen a queen triggerfish, real quick, it's absolutely a gorgeous fish. Got
gorgeous.
Blues in it, purples in it, greens in it, all in the nose.
It's a peacock fish.
Right, but it's still got like that grayish kind of tone to it, but his nose and his face is absolutely gorgeous. That's why he's considered an ornamental fish.
Right.
Anyhow, people have been catching these. They're getting more and more common because they're really a warm water fish, but they have showed up. Anyhow, big shout out to FWC. They educated before they penalized the guy, okay? They went to his house, said, we saw the picture. We know it was you. You're in your garage holding them. Here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to tell you that this is, you cannot possess this fish. Showed them the rule, which, folks, you go up, you look at the rule. It's a little gray how they say it, but if you look real close, you'll see that the possession limit is zero unless the fish is kept alive for fish tank purposes. And
right.
You have to have a permit, of course, to, you know, get any kind of ornamental stuff, whatever,
trumpetfish,
you have to have a permit. Anyhow, thank you, FWC. That was the greatest thing to do. I'd rather see you educate than penalize the guy. And it was a good. I feel as though it was a good thing.
Yes.
I like that they didn't go in there with smoking guns and
don't go heavy handed
and throw the guy $1,000 fine or something like that. When honestly, you know, everybody thinks it's a triggerfish. As long as they know when the season's open or closed, oh, it's a triggerfish, I can have it.
Right.
But good job, FWC. You know, that's. I mean, honestly, truthfully, I feel it was a great thing to do.
I like seeing posts from FWC when they smoke a guy that's got 200 lobster
tails. You see that all undersized?
Oh, my God. That does,
and that's crazy. But anyhow, folks, we got to go. Real quick, this Saturday, don't forget to tune into the Outdoor Show from 7 to 10 Saturday mornings. It'll be Captain Kevin Favor, Captain Kirk Walson. You got Captain Scott Shank,
too. Oh, snap.
Yep. Jeff's going to be hunting for the last weekend, so we got to give him his time because, unfortunately, the Jaguars have not moved on. So Jeff is going to be off. I'm going to be filling in with the boys. We're going to have a good time. Don't forget to call and check in on us. Other than that, Captain Leon Dana, thank you very much for joining me tonight.
Absolutely.
Folks, you've been listening to Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana, have a great week.
See ya.